Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. And wow, I should be playing the song Having a Heat Wave. Wow, because it's, I haven't been out of the house here, my home in New York for, wow, I've got to tell you, quite a number of days in the heat. And I don't think I'm the only one that's dealing with this heat. It seems to be north and south and east and west and, well, in about a little more than a week. Yeah, let's see, yeah. A couple of weeks I'll be up in, I'm going to be going to Winnipeg. Yes. Hopefully it'll be cooler there. And let's see, on my show today, hopefully, okay, let's see what's going on with, I'm having a problem, okay, let's see what's happening with my internet here. Oh, we got an internet problem. Look at that. I don't even know if I'm streaming. Let's see. Trying to get my Blog Talk Radio. It's not going. I don't got my switchboard. That's what's happening. It could be because of the storm, which I have a feeling that's what it's about. There's storms going around, going all over here. Let's see if I can get that. No, it's not happening. Okay, well, here it's showing 37 minutes until showtime, which doesn't help. Well, okay, obviously we're having a problem. I'm going to have to reschedule the show. I can't even go to a thing that says to cancel at this point, because it's not coming up. I can't play my music. I can't do crap. All right, so now try again another day. Bye, everybody. Okay. Are you there?
I am.
Oh, this thing, I don't know what happened. I guess maybe because of the storms or something going on here, it suddenly like didn't let me do the show. My whole switchboard, if I don't see my switchboard, I can't do anything except chat. But anyway, so now I'm going to introduce and tell everybody. It's Tim, right? I got Tim?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good.
Yes,
I got Tim. I just want to make sure. Okay, if you tuned in again, well, I have Tim Kerrigan calling in, and we're going to talk about the whole situation in the Panhandle area of the Gulf Coast. I understand. Like, did you go to the meeting yesterday?
We had a meeting. We have another meeting tonight. We have plenty. Last night was, yesterday was the local tourist development councils and chamber leaders. So that was fairly informative. We actually did not get as many people as we hoped for. A lot of it had to be canceled because of some people were hit with oil a little bit more than they had expected. So luckily we are still not affected by it physically, but they were, so they had other meetings that they had to go to. Many times when, if you're a part of a tourist development council, you're also called in by the county to work on emergency management situations. So we end up being the public information officer for that. So other people had obligations. Tonight we have a town hall meeting here in Port St. Joe in Gulf County where we will have several leaders throughout the community, county commissioners, city commissioners, press, media, Coast Guard, BP, everyone there basically to give an informational update and allow people to ask questions. So that will be at 5:30.
Well, let's go to, like, what's going on where you are, specifically in the, I call it the Forgotten Coast.
Right. Many people do refer to our area as the Forgotten Coast. Primarily that was because years ago we were left off of a Florida map. We weren't really mentioned. And Apalachicola area took it and ran with it. The other areas have also been considered the Forgotten Coast, anywhere from Mexico Beach, which is in Bay County, all the way over to Wakulla, which is in Wakulla County, actually. So we, in Port St. Joe and Gulf County, we're located, our beach area is located in Port St. Joe, and of course we go up to the north, where you've been in Wewahitchka, with our freshwater. But we are located somewhere in between Panama City and Apalachicola, where I'm calling from.
Okay. So let's first talk about the tourism down there. The beaches.
You mean how we've been impacted?
Have you been impacted by the oil spill?
Mainly by perception or misperception. Most people look at the national media and believe that we have been physically impacted, that we have oil or tar balls or, you know, in any form or fashion, that we have it on our shores, but we currently do not. To our west in Panama City Beach, they have received some, but they're, you know, 40, 50 miles away. So we do not have it currently. However, from a financial impact, we are not seeing the future bookings. Typically May and early June, we have most of our bookings throughout the entire year, if you look at it a calendar year. And we are down, depending upon who you speak to, anywhere from 15% to 60%. I would put it at an average of about 35% to 50%, depending on the rental agency. Currently, we're doing quite well. For what we have right now, our bookings are doing very well. We have a lot of visitation, but we're not getting the phone calls. The phone calls are, you know, the phone's just not ringing. People are looking more than ever at a last-minute decision to travel, which has made us a little bit more of a drive destination, even though we just opened a new airport in our area, the first airport to be opened since 9/11.
And where is the airport?
It is in Panama City.
Okay.
So it is about an hour drive to our beach, but it's a beautiful airport. However, people are not all that anxious to book a long-term trip. You know, that would be 2 weeks, 2 months out.
Right.
We're just not seeing that. What we are getting is a lot of a lot of drive traffic. So it has made us a whole lot more regional than we would like. We love our regional visitors, but we certainly would like the air flight traffic visitors as well.
Because of the economy also that, with that?
Merle, without a doubt on that, and we have seen that trend progress over the past couple years.
Right.
We have seen people be more of a last-minute decision
mm-hmm.
on travel than let's say, 2002 to 2005. People were booking out well in advance. And with the downturn of the economy, we've had to adapt with that, but we certainly hoped that we would have benefited a little bit more from the airport, which I know that we will in the future, but because of the impact of the oil scare, that's not going to happen right now. No matter what we try to do to promote our area, we have to put ourselves in other people's shoes and say, would you do this? So we're being realistic there, but we certainly hope that we can, if anything comes ashore, we can clean it up quickly. We're putting up new live cams on our website, visitgulf.com, and clearfloridabeach.com. We are doing several things. We've been active on Facebook, Twitter, all social media marketing, and trying to get that immediate word out and posting new video every day. We try to. Sometimes you can't due to weather or meetings or other constraints, but we try to do our best to get something new and fresh every day. So
mm-hmm.
we understand where we are with the economy and also with the oil scare. All we can do is try to get our word out that we are not affected right now. If we should be affected, we have to clean it up quickly and show evidence to show truth to the viewer or the consumer that we are actually painting a clear picture, because we understand that people might look at us and say, be a little bit skeptical. So we're trying to provide proof with the immediate media on the live cams.
Now, when you're talking about cleaning up, what kind of process can you do to clean up? I mean, what can you do?
Well, you have protection and cleanup. So one is going to be a diversion of the oil. So, like I said, we don't have it now, but should it come, we have a comprehensive plan. There is a hard boom, and that's BOOM. That is a plastic-type material barrier that goes out and tries to redirect the oil to the beach, to the shore. And let me go back and explain. We are on St. Joseph Bay. Our bay is one of only two in the state that you can collect recreationally, that you can collect scallops. And they are a small bay scallop, different from a sea scallop. They're very small. And we also, within that bay and estuary, we have the fish that come in each year. They spawn and they leave, and they always return each year. We have a marsh, a grass bed within there that all of that takes place. So ultimately, that is what we have to protect. We also have to protect all the shoreline, but you can clean up the oil off of the sandy beach so much easier than you can getting it out of that grass bed, if you will. So what we're trying to do is use that boom. There's a hard boom, then a soft, and then an absorbent. So it's a three-tiered approach. And all of that is designed to deflect the oil to the beach where it can be scooped up, whether by hand if it's light, or by power equipment that might have to scoop it or rake it. So those are the primary plans in progress. We have boom staged already, and we have many workers out there. So right now, we actually see a little bit of an economic impact in an uptouch because people have been put to work who previously may not have been employed. Of course, no one wants to be employed in this manner.
Yeah, like Captain Larry. He won't be able to come on my show because he's out there.
Absolutely. So you're going to have someone like Captain Larry who is using his boat to go out and be employed by BP, you know, through the state or BP, and he can actually make a little bit of an income because he is not going to have people knocking down his door right now that normally would be for him to take them out on a charter. So he has to switch gears and make income in some other way. However, our fishing right now is phenomenal. I'm an avid fisherman myself, and the fishing is wonderful, but people don't know that, and it's hard to get that out. Or even if they know it, again, they're going to make a last-minute decision. And now people like Captain Larry have registered their boat to do other work because they had to. We however, still do have many that are ready to take people out on the boat, but not as many as we normally would have.
So when you when you're dealing with fishing, I mean, I really have no sense of this whole thing. I mean, all the fish going to eat the oil? I mean, they gonna get oil into their system?
Well, I wouldn't pretend to be an expert on that, but my understanding of it is that no, they're not going to eat it. But if the oil is broken down by parts per million, and I don't know the number, it will still filter through their gills, just like you and I.
Right.
If you live next to a chemical plant that is putting out too great of a toxic material, you're going to breathe it. The fish would do the same. To this point, we're not affected by that. We've tested it, and DEP, everyone is, you know, looking at that quite mightily. So far, it has not affected our fisheries, and it has not affected our bivalves, which are going to be scallops and oysters. You know, our area.
The famous Apalachicola oysters.
Absolutely. You
don't
like those,
I'd love to have them now.
I was just telling my children last night that I believe we might have to go out and get a bag of oysters this weekend. I'm craving them.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. The restaurants are still serving them up, but it's just it's just getting the people down there to
twofold on that. It's funny you mentioned that scenario because we are still serving them up and they still are beautifully clean. They're wonderful. Number one, it's hard to get the people long-term here. Right now, people are coming. We have many visitors. Some people are 100% booked. Some people are 80% booked. But for yearly trend, we're doing quite well currently. But what we don't see is people making a long-term commitment. So as far as us projecting our budget or what we can spend to attract people, we're shooting in the dark a little bit, and that's why it's so necessary that we get the money from BP to help us advertise our area because our message could change from one day to the next. It could be that we have absolutely nothing on our shores, or it may be we do have something on our shores, but it's only in this extent. Or here's what we've done to modify the situation, and here are what your concerns should be, if any. The other thing with the oysters is that it is more difficult to get our oystermen to harvest because they have experienced this downtick, number one, in the economy, more difficult for them to run their boat anyway. If they were able to hold on to their boat and their business, if we don't have people coming down and visit and buy them locally, which is a large part of it, now they have to find work elsewhere. So perhaps they have to enter their boat into the Vessels of Opportunity program, which is where they go and work for BP and protect the shoreline. So because of that, it's more difficult to harvest. We just don't have as many boats or as many oystermen out there collecting. So there have been times that even locally, a restaurant may run out of oysters for the evening.
There was an oyster like company that I went to in in Apalachicola, and I think they get the oysters and they shuck them and can them.
Correct.
What was the name of it? Do you know it?
Was that 13 Mile? Was that Buddy Ward? I forget who it was that you visited.
I wasn't sure because I got to get a tour of the place, and it was interesting seeing that they shuck them and can them to send them out versus, and I don't know if for instance, let's say if a restaurant in that area said, well, you're getting the oysters. I mean, the restaurants themselves are not, of course, sending out the chef to get them. So they have to order them. But I'm kind of wondering whether it's less expensive to get it from a fisherman or the oyster company that's right there in town.
Well, typically most of ours do a little bit of both. You're going to have the individual boats that go out, but they have to have their own commercial license to be able, they have to have a different type of commercial license to be able to sell them directly themselves. Typically they are going to harvest for one of the companies, and the companies will then process, either clean, separate, bag them for in shell, or they will separate and package them like what you're discussing. And either way, it has not, to this point, really impacted the price. It is more just everyone is keeping their prices fairly stable. So it's not anything to this point that would make it more expensive, but that is not out of the realm of expectation for the future. If they continue to go through that, there's going to be, of course, a greater demand and a lesser supply, which demand and supply is going to raise price.
Right.
So if they don't have the amount of supply that they normally would, and they still have a profit margin of a baseline that they have to meet before they make a profit, they're going to have to raise the price. But we have not seen that up to this point.
Okay. Well, let's get on a different subject. We can get back to this later. Of tourism itself, to tell people what's there, like when you go, what kind of attractions or what things to do and stuff like that.
Tranquility. our greater. You've been here.
It's not Disneyland. Nothing like that. But
we are not Disneyland. We're not going to have neon flashing lights. We have none of that. We really are. It's funny. I'm not quite sure if you're familiar with the Kenny Chesney, but it reminds me of a Kenny Chesney song where he's going down to the Bahamas of the Caribbean. People come here to get away from the rush hour traffic and the hectic lifestyle. They come here to get away from all of that, where they can kick up their feet and sit in a beach chair or on the beach and relax. Our number one attraction is our water, and that it's our bay, our fishing, and that's why it is so detrimental that we protect it. People want to come down and not see the tar balls. They don't want to be affected. They don't want to even perceive that they're smelling something of an odd odor that may be coming from the shore from oil. They don't want to see it. They don't want to smell it. So we have a unique system here, ecosystem, where we have the clear water, the white sand, and then we go into the bay. So you can inshore fish for trout, flounder, redfish, pompano. You can go offshore and catch red snapper, grouper, wahoo, sailfish even. So we have a very unique system that you can get all of that. It makes it very family friendly, where someone can have their heavy tackle and go offshore. But for someone that doesn't want to spend, you know, an hour or two heading out, they can go inshore or even walk out in the bay. You can park along Highway 98 and walk out into the bay, wade fish, or collect scallops. So that lends itself to being a family-friendly activity, because whether you're 4 or 84, you can do the same activity.
So you can actually go out and collect and get scallops and bring them back to your place and eat them, you mean?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. We have a new park we just opened that, and by park I mean a public park, a parking area with a dock that goes out that would make it for easier access for some. But anywhere along our stretch, we have about 40 miles of beach in Gulf County or water access, and anyone can go park their car, walk out, take their bucket or their net or whatever it may be. You typically use a mask and snorkel with or without fins, and it's very shallow water. It can range from 2 feet to 8 feet, but typically you're going to be in about 4 feet of water. And it's very leisurely. You go along with your mask and snorkel and grab the scallops, put them in, go back and clean them. And it's a really unique activity.
Wow.
I've never gone for clams in the Northeast, but I would have to imagine.
Yeah, that's
like
what
that
it sounds like when
well.
People used to, yeah, then we'd get to go clamming, you know.
Mm-hmm. I would equate it to that in a sense. My father's side of the family is from the Northeast, and it when we discuss it with family from there, they kind of equate it to that. But it's a little bit different because it does stay fairly shallow for a great part of the bay.
Well, there's also one, if I want to call it an attraction, and I'm trying to think, it was in Apalachicola, and it was a whole nature center that I went to.
There is. Was it the Marine Estuary?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yes, yeah, and you can see inside the tanks different things and touch and feel it. That is, that's something definitely to see. We also, in 2002, we had a well-renowned scientist. He's called Dr. Beach. He's based out of Miami, I believe, but he named our Cape San Blas, St. Joseph State Park, number one beach. So that gained a lot of notoriety, and it made us not as much forgotten, but we still are. We still carry that moniker. So we have the beautiful beaches. We have another unique area in the northern end of Gulf County in Wewahitchka. We normally refer to it as Weewa, but it's the only spot that you can find Tupelo honey, and it's off of a Tupelo blossom,
Tupelo
a Tupelo
honey.
Tree.
Yeah.
And you can go and experience that, see it, take a tour. And it is a honey. Normally, when honey sits, it will congeal. It will have a layer at the top. This does not. It is very good for diabetics. It's very unique, but that is somewhat of an attraction. So you can see our attractions are a little bit different than
more
going to
outdoorish.
The amusement park. Absolutely, very much outdoorish.
Nature.
Very much. And that has been a great trend recently of ecotourism, where people are wanting to experience something for themselves. The nature provides it, and they experiment with it themselves. And a lot of our visitors come to, in a way, take ownership, whether they own property here or not, second home, whatever. People that even come here for 3 days, they feel like family in our area. Everyone is very friendly. They take it upon themselves to help protect the area. So we appreciate all those people, and we want to keep it that way. You're not going to find high rises here. We have restrictions on that to 3 levels. And that's typically for a home. You don't most of our rentals, we have several beautiful hotels and condo rentals, but most of our people are going to come and rent a home and mix in with the locals or just enjoy their time as a family. Some homes may be 4 or 5 bedrooms, and we get a lot of people that it may be father and mother and their 2 children and their spouses and their children, which would be the other grandchildren.
Right.
And they, we are pet friendly. All of Gulf County except for the state park, which is federally owned. Anywhere else, you can have your pet on the beach on a leash. You can also, we have horseback riding on the beach. That is still allowed. So we have several unique things there. And again, it's family-oriented and nature-conscious, if you will.
That's great. I'm just curious, by the way, what's the temperature there where you are?
It's been warm. It has been quite
warm.
We're
curious about 90. What's the temperature today?
I believe we're about 90 today.
We do
have a passing shower right now. We are, of course, summer just hit, but we're in full summer mode. Typically, we will be cool in the morning, around 70, cool for us, and then it will raise to about 90 midday and then drop off again overnight. But we have, because we're on the water, the patterns will heat up, absorb the moisture off of the Gulf, and then we will typically have an afternoon shower. Sometimes they may last 15 minutes. Sometimes you'll have a few of them that last 15 minutes, but then it will fade off. You'll see heat lightning in the background, which is actually quite soothing in the evening. Another thing in Gulf County, which a lot of people partake in, is you can have a bonfire on the beach. We just ask that people dig their hole, make sure that everything is burned. Anything they don't burn, they dispose of the following day, and they refill their hole. And most people do a very good job of that. For the ones that do not, we have our beach cleaning crew employed through the county who go by and clean that up. And that's, of course, at no charge either. So a lot of things here, once you pay your travel and to get to and from, and you pay for your rental, whether it be hotel or a home or whatever it may be, everything is fairly inclusive because you're doing it on your own. There are things that you can partake in without having a great expense. I know when I travel, I look at how much I'm going to spend to go in return, how much I'm going to spend on my hotel, and then I almost double it because of everything else I'm going to have to spend. Here, you can go to one of the restaurants, which we have a good array of restaurants, but you also have kitchens in all these homes that you're renting. So, again, it's family-friendly. You're getting together, and it's almost like a family reunion. Someone provides this one night, someone does it the following night, and then you go and cap it off with a bonfire on the beach or a walk along the beach or take the kids ghost crabbing where they're little, 2-inch long sand crabs, and you go with your flashlights and you go try to catch them and just have a lot of fun. You can have fun from early morning all the way into late at night, but it's not a bar hopping type area. It's not a bar atmosphere.
But do they have local entertainment going on?
Absolutely. We do have several places. In Mexico Beach, Toucans is right on the water, and that is a couple-tiered restaurant. They have sand volleyball. There is a swing set and play area for the kids, so adults could be eating out over the water or they're in front of the water and watching the kids play right beneath them. We have other restaurants on the bay, a beautiful restaurant at the St. Joe Marina, and there is nightlife, but it's going to primarily be a 1-3-person band, typically acoustic.
Right.
There are a couple spots at Toucans that as the late night creeps upon you, it's going to be more of a dance atmosphere, but for the most part, it I would kind of equate it to like a Key West down by the water, where you have, you know, 1 to 3 people playing and people sit around and socialize. It's not going to be overbearing on your ears. It's not going to be too loud. But there are spots that if you do want the excitement, you can find that here as well. But typically it's going to be a little bit more subdued.
Wasn't there was a place, I'm thinking maybe, was it in Mexico Beach that, like, there's a park and they have, like, a concert kind of thing on one night a week or something?
Yes, that is Sunset Park right next to El Governor Motel. And, again, those are, you know, anywhere. Sometimes you may have a one-person band or you might have up there, you might have up to six. And all of that is free. That's provided by the community. Actually, it's directly across from the home that I grew up in. My parents live right across the street from there. So if you were there, you were looking at my parents' house. You might have even parked in their driveway if Lynn took you there. But that is exactly where I grew up from the age of 4. So I love the Mexico Beach area. Of course, that is Bay County, but we all partner together as we advertise Mexico Beach and all of Gulf County. And there are a lot of, most anything that you do here, if there is a band, large or small, everything is free entry. We really don't have the cover charge type atmosphere.
Yeah.
It is, you can come in, put up a lounge chair and listen, and you can either pay to get your beverages or food, you know, at a nearby restaurant, but you don't have to. You can bring your own picnic. Tonight, as a matter of fact, we are having a movies in the park night. So we will show different movies every Thursday throughout summer, and we partner with Mexico Beach on it. 1 week it'll be here in Gulf County, right beside my office, right next to the boat ramp, and the following Thursday it will be in Mexico Beach, where you're talking about, right there by the El Governor.
Mm-hmm.
And it is free of charge. Tonight we are showing the Earth movie, which was produced by Disney. So I think that will be beautiful. Hopefully weather will cooperate.
Sure.
And allow us to show it. But we keep everything, again, it's going to be a PG or under movie, where family can go out and enjoy it and not be alarmed by anything that they would hear. And people can bring their own picnic basket, their own beverages, their own food. It's not a for-profit event. It's just an appreciation event, and bring the whole community together that they can enjoy. The kids will have blankets laid out. They kick back and eat their popcorn, watch the movie, and it's open to locals and visitors all alike. But it's a great opportunity for visitors to come in and talk to locals. You might hear someone off to the side, you know, whispering a little bit of saying where they should go out and try to fish or where they should go out and scallop, and everyone gives their information. It's really nice.
Now, do they allow, what's the alcohol law? I mean, can people bring beer and whatever to the picnics and beaches and whatever?
In Gulf County, it's a little bit frowned upon. Some people do it. It's not strictly enforced, but in the public parks, it is not supposed to happen. In Mexico Beach and Bay County, it really, let's say, however you want. But nonetheless, either way, you cannot, we don't try to over-enforce anyone on anything. It never gets out of hand by anyone.
Oh, that's good.
No, you never have to worry about that. If you would expect or suspect someone of doing it, no one's going to say anything. You just don't get loud and rambunctious. But, no, it's not supposed to be there, but it's not heavily regulated. There are policemen around to make sure that no one gets out of control for anything.
Oh, okay, as long as that. Now, also, there's this really odd thing that happens in that area. Probably the most, I'll call it the most celebrated night, is New Year's.
Oh yes, we do fall upon a time zone. So we are in Eastern Time Zone, Mexico Beach, which again is only about 7 miles away. they are in the Central Time Zone. So we have, at New Year's, we have an event called Celebrate Safe, Celebrate Twice. We have several buses that come in and will transport all of the visitors or whomever from one location to the next. It really is so that people can have their fun, which we all know they're going to have,
right,
but don't put them on the road where they drive. So
okay,
you can get picked up at numerous locations and dropped off at numerous locations. They will drop you within an earshot of your home or where you're staying, and you can walk there. If you need to get off the bus, you can get off. So everyone participates all throughout the area between Gulf County and Mexico Beach. We normally have special bands playing, and again, that's typically no cover charge. It is a wonderful, wonderful event. It's been a great success for us. Of course, the other is 4th of July, our fireworks. That's our most heavily attended.
Now, but an hour later, it doesn't make a difference, though,
Not then necessarily, because you're not going to celebrate at midnight.
Right,
but for the Celebrate Safe, Celebrate Twice at New Year's, you can celebrate New Year's in the Eastern Time Zone and go 7 miles down the road and celebrate again in the Central Time Zone.
Well, there's a point. Is there a point where, and I know I did this, I went there and I stood on both sides. I had half of me in one time zone and half of me in the other. But is it
Lookout Lounge right there at the county line? Absolutely.
Is there, for instance, purposely, a bar, restaurant, or something that's the closest to the line on one side and closest to the line on the other side? I mean, how close would it be? In other words, New Year's Eve, that you go, you celebrate, you know, and then okay, let me walk over the line. I mean, how
right.
far would you have to walk?
About half a mile. That would be the closest two establishments to the line would be the Lookout Lounge, which is in Gulf County, and that is absolutely on the line. And then the next one over into the Central Time Zone would be Toucans, which, again, at that point in time is going to be a little bit louder, a little bit livelier, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, it's typically a restaurant, but late night it would be very much a New Year's Eve hot spot. So you could walk there, but again, you have the buses where you don't even have to walk.
Oh,
but you could not walk out of one door and a minute later be in the other.
Oh, okay.
It would take you a few minutes. It would, you know, take a half-mile walk.
Oh, okay. I was just curious.
But not
about
a bad
that.
Walk to walk right along the beach. Not a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. And also there's the trip that Captain Larry usually has is the estuary tours. Is there more than one boat that does that right now?
Oh, there are numerous. There are numerous boats that do it. Absolutely, all the way from Mexico Beach and into Apalachicola. So Mexico Beach, all throughout Gulf County, St. Joseph Bay, and into Apalachicola, there are numerous ones of those. I'm not quite sure if you had the privilege of going to St. Vincent's Island or anywhere like that, but there are islands you can take a kayak or you can take a guided tour, a boat. You can even, on some of them, have your bicycle put onto the boat barge, head over and travel miles of trails there. And see a lot of unique wildlife. You may find alligators that you don't really have to be afraid of. People, I know that puts an alert in some people's mind, but you really don't have to be alerted by them there. I've never heard of an incident where there was a problem. There are what are called sandbar deer, S-A-N-B-A-R, and they're very large deer that inhabit the island, so you may find them as well.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that when I was doing the estuary tour. Didn't see any, but did hear about it. So in other words, when we get me down there again, we're gonna get me on a lobster, an oyster fishing boat.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. Need to get you out and show you. We'll put you to work. We'll put you on some tongs and have you pull up some oysters.
Cool.
You'll appreciate it even more when you eat the next one, when you see how hard these gentlemen and ladies work to get those things.
Yeah, it's interesting because I had gone to, in Cape Cod, I was at an oyster farm. And an oyster farm, you're just standing there and like, oh, you know, taking it right then and there. You know,
we don't do a whole lot of seafood farming around here. It's natural, it's wild, it's fresh. It is very different. You can go out, go alongside them and watch them. Of course, we're going to put you on a boat and have you, you know, be able to see it firsthand. But no, they're going out into the oyster beds where they naturally occur, and that, you know, can somewhat change from year to year. But most of the oystermen have a lease on an area that they will go and harvest in that area only.
Mm-hmm.
And that's well regulated. Of course, most of it is self-regulated. If you tried to go in and get your own and you didn't have a lease on that bed, someone would probably alert you very quickly. But we can get you on a boat where you'd be with one of them who does have a lease, and you'll be able to experience it.
Now, aside from seafood, is there any, like, again, this is like, we're doing, this is internet, so this is going all over the world.
Right.
Is there any, like, a kind of a local kind of cuisine that people should, you know, think of in that area?
No, primarily it will be the seafood, and number one and two, it's going to be fresh harvested oysters and shrimp. So many of the shrimp that you may find now are going to be what is termed a black tiger, which would come from overseas. And they tend to be have a different vein down the back. It's going to be a little bit tougher shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And not going to be as sweet of a taste as what you would find here locally. So the fresh caught that we have here, I believe, to be the best in the world. And typically anyone would say the same for sure about the Apalachicola Bay oysters. I think that would go, you know, for where even your locale. I'm sure that some people in the Northeast may prefer their own, but throughout the world, it's going to be an Apalachicola oyster.
Well, I'm going to.
They're done in so many different ways here. Of course, I mean, you can eat them raw out of the shell on a half shell, on a cracker. They are broiled, baked, steamed, with every type of concoction from garlic, butter, lemon juice. Some will have jalapeno peppers. Some will even have them as a buffalo style, like a buffalo wing, hot wing.
Wow.
And those are phenomenal. That with blue cheese. And
wow.
They are done at many restaurants in 20 different ways, and it's really interesting to try them all.
On the beaches, do they have, well, of course they're not going to have clam bakes. Do they have, I don't know, what would they be baking, what they would use instead?
The closest to that, what we do is a low country boil, which would consist of typically shrimp, new potatoes, onion, corn, and andouille sausage. Some people will do a sweeter sausage rather than andouille, which might be a little bit hot.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a large, like a 30-quart, typically for a family, a large basket boil and you line the table with a non-absorbent cloth and put it into a big basket and break it out and pour it along, top it off with squeezed margarine, a little bit of like a Tony Sacheret or a Cajun seasoning, and top that with green onion, diced green onion, and it can feed the whole crew. You can feed 50, 100 people at one time, and that's what most people would do.
Wow. That sounds really cool.
You ready for me to do that for you when you come?
Yeah. Yes, we got it. We have to do that too when we get a group together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we got another thing that we got to do that I haven't experienced. Well, by the way, I went to the kayak place, but didn't do kayaking.
We can put you on that too. I'm to happy hour kayak or somewhere like that.
I don't swim, so I get nervous about things, you know, like that.
Maybe you can be tethered to me and we can go in.
But that was that's cute. Is it this still around, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have a few now. There are a few right here locally in our area, and they do a wonderful job. They explain the areas to where you want to go or where you're going to be. They'll explain it all. And it is a nice experience every time. It seems like every time I'm out, I will see a sea turtle, loggerhead, or green leatherback, any of those, and they'll pop up all around you, and it really humbles you when you're there and you don't have a motor running, you don't have the noise, all you hear is the ripple of the water and them coming up and breaking the water, and you hear that sound and you're right there with them. They seem more intelligent than I would have ever thought, but they're very gentle. And we encourage everyone to not try to touch them, try not to get in, and swim with them, but just observe.
We might too loud. Okay, I have the sound of waves, and I gotta lower the volume of that while we talk. I have the sound of beach also.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see how bad this is. All right. I'll have to put it to get it
sounds
a
like
different volume.
You got some
volume.
Kids in the background on that one, yeah.
Yeah. And since I'm sure there are any like new restaurants that opened or anything in the last. I think I was there in 2007, I think.
Well, we have Windmark Beach, which is a Joe Company. It's not Port St. Joe, but the company is actually called Joe Company, and they have a new restaurant. There are a couple. I wouldn't say there are too many new ones from when you were here. Most of the ones that we have sustained, and they are continuing, to be the ones you'd frequent. One that most people go to is Indian Pass Raw Bar. That's very, it's an odd experience. It's refreshing. You order your food. There is a large wall of beer, soda, beverages, everything there. And you go and serve yourself.
Are there any microbreweries?
No, there are not any microbreweries in the area. Some people try to get that. It's just a little bit, cost prohibitive for the area, just not enough traffic for it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the Raw Bar, you can go and serve yourself. You pour your own draft beer, or you'll grab your own soda or water or your own bottle or canned beer, and you go when it's time to check out. You go and tell them how many you had. They don't keep tab of it. It's an honor system, so that it's quite refreshing, and it just speaks a lot of the area of how trusting everyone is, and it gives you a sense of the way people act around in our area and what to expect. Now, you can go from that, and then you can go to the Windmark area, which is the new restaurant, which is very much more culinary, I would say. It's School of Fish, and it is much more upscale, but wonderful food, but not overpriced. It's right on the water there as well, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful restaurant.
Now, what about, like, I had seen on the news that Pensacola was affected. Is it?
They have
been. In terms of the oil spill?
They have been. They have received tar balls. They've received some sheen, some of what they call mousse, which is more of what you would probably relate to from what you've seen in Louisiana. Not to that extent, not near to that extent, but some of that has approached, and we've even had it in Panama City Beach. But again, that's 50 miles away. We have not seen it here, luckily, and we hope not to, but we're prepared for it, I believe, you know, if it should approach.
Well, my question would be, why would it hit there and not where you are? I mean, is it this
geographic? They're further west than we are. We're further east, so we're further away. With the way the wind patterns and the currents
mm-hmm.
bring the oil north, and then it's going to travel primarily along the shore in that pattern, coming to the east from the west, and
right.
we are further away. We hope for our sake, not for anyone else, but we hope for our sake that it will get into that Gulf Stream and get into the pattern and dissipate throughout the Gulf Stream, and we will be, you know, heavily affected.
Right. I saw something on YouTube of the guys who came up with the idea of what to do to help to clean up. And then, I don't know if you saw this, they were using hay. They were demonstrating putting hay on top of oil and show that the oil would go into the hay, and then it could just, like, rake the hay and whatever they have to do with it to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, we have.
It's
one of several approaches that could be used. There are numerous ones that people have come up with. Typically, once it comes ashore, from what I understand of our approach, is that we probably would not use the hay or the straw. If it comes that far into shore, we would like for the current to go ahead and push it upon the sand and get it out of the waiting area of what you could, you know, approach physically. We'd prefer it to go ahead and get on the sand and then clean it up from there, and we have that ability. It may just present more work. It might present a greater difficulty in dispensing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not quite sure on that. I wouldn't say that we won't use that approach, but that's not one currently that we would do. We feel that we can handle it the way it is right now. We've also been approached by the people that, you know, show that you can freeze it, but that is in a very much contained area. Our shores are not like that. They're fairly open, so I don't believe that would work here either. It may, and again, I wouldn't say that we wouldn't try it. If things come ashore and one method does not work, I'm sure that we'll try the other. And if that one doesn't work, we'll try another. But that's not anything that is in our plan as of right now, to my knowledge.
Now, as far as what is the website that people can go to get both the information about the area and to see the webcam?
Oh, absolutely. There are two that I would direct anyone to go see. One is, of course, www.clearfloridacoast.com, clearfloridacoast.com. We have a daily video that we try to post. There's a new one up right now. There's a live webcam also, and we've seen great traffic. That is a new website that we launched so that we can find out what type of traffic we're generating from our marketing efforts to show something new. Our typical site is visitgulf.com, V-I-S-I-T-G-U-L-F.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have webcams on there. Our neighboring community, Mexico Beach, has a Mexico-Beach.com,
mm-hmm.
and they have webcams. But the clearfloridacoast.com, it shows the weather. It has the live update, the live webcam. It's wonderful. It's a great way to view the area. We try to update it daily. We're also followed on from there. There is a link to Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, where we're posting other updates as well. But you can find all of that from the clearfloridacoast.com.
That's great.
Have you visited that one yet?
No, I didn't go to that one. I'm going to do that.
Please do.
Yeah.
You'll really like it. It'll show lodging partners that may or may not have a special, or at least they can show what is available, what their rates may be, things such as that. But for the most part, you're able to see a lot of pictures, the video, and the live cam. And on the live cam, you have the ability to change your angle. And other people have that same ability. So if there's heavy traffic, you might not have total access. Someone else might be trying to change it. But you can look down from one of the motels and look down at the swimming pool. You can look out towards the Cape, the St. Joseph Peninsula. There are several different angles that you can view. You can see where someone may be playing volleyball in front of that Toucan's restaurant that I mentioned. So in heavy traffic times, a lot of people will be playing with it and taking control of the camera. But I always ask people to return to it. But right now you can see that we're a little bit overcast, a little bit cloudy. But not too bad. Again, it's a typical summer
mm-hmm.
shower that should pass. We're at a 30% chance of rain, and right now we're 80%, but for the day we're about a 30, very typical.
I also wanted to ask you, when I was in Port St. Joe,
right.
there was a, there's the beach area and then the, what you would call like the downtown area.
Right.
Stores, shops, whatever.
Right,
but
all along,
yeah.
primarily Reed Avenue, Reed and Williams Avenue.
And what I had noticed, I mean, like, mostly it seemed like real estates or things like that. Has any places opened up? I mean, I went to this, I guess it was a coffee house that I had stopped in. But as I was going around in that area, there weren't very many places other than, business
real
like real estate, yeah.
Things like that, yeah, or insurance agencies, things such as that. That is where we have had our greatest amount of change, which I'm sure you'd like to see. We have a couple coffee houses, many more restaurants, a great Mexican restaurant, a bistro that renovated a couple buildings together, or a couple of those along there, put it into one. We have some great shopping, Persnickety, which is, they call it the shop of all shops, but they have a lot of unique gifts. It's owned by several local women, and they have a great flair for style, much, much greater than myself, and they go on their shopping trips and bring things in. They also show a lot of local artists. We have a studio on 4th, which shows a lot of artwork, pottery, woodworks. There are a lot more shops down there right now.
I guess that's another place for me.
7.
That's when I think I saw it all. Huh?
Well, one thing that is really neat about the area is people are, they may not have grown up in the area. They might have lived in Atlanta, New York, wherever, and they've come down to semi-retire, but they just can't stand to do it because they love their craft so much. We have so many artistic people ranging from paint artistry to woodcraft, pottery, musically inclined. We have a lot of songwriters that live in the area. So at any one given night, you might go to one of the local bars and someone is there playing the songs that they've written for George Strait or a different, any type of genre of music. So
nice.
It's really unique to see that as well. But yeah, a lot of the shops here, I think you would find that it would be a lot different than when you last visited.
That's good. Give me some more stuff to look forward to.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to be there right now. I have to tell you, I mean I'm in New York, do you think it's not any cooler? I'm that far north. And this is what's really hysterical. I'm that far north, and I think it was supposed to feel like 90 degrees today with the humidity.
Right.
I mean, like, no different, you know?
Anybody here would be thinking that you would be shivering cold, but I know it's not. I've lived abroad myself. One thing that we do have is we have the Gulf breeze. So in the afternoon, it cools down, and you have a nice breeze that will make it, feel a little bit cooler than what you would expect from looking at your thermometer.
Now, I want to ask you a little more about the airport. Now, the airport, you say, is in Panama City? Is that
correct?
Okay. So, in other words, you're looking like in that whole area, either you're going to Tallahassee, Panama City, or Pensacola, right? For that entire
area?
Yeah,
there is a Fort Walton Airport as well.
Oh,
Fort
okay.
Mm-hmm. So that is between Panama City and Pensacola. So that's
now, with these, like, for instance, with this new one, like, what airlines are flying in there?
Delta has been the staple, but now we have Northwest, which has really brought our prices down. So that was the greatest addition by building the new airport, is that they came in. I know my wife and children, I'll remain here to work throughout the summer, but they're going to take a vacation up to see her in-laws or her parents in Chicago, and they were able to get a round trip ticket for right around $200.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, not bad at all. It really, where we were experiencing $325 round trip from any destination, it brought it down to the $200 to $250 range. So that has been a great benefit. Really, really happy to see that. It just opened. I believe it was May 22nd, if I'm not mistaken.
And it's probably not, you probably go there and, like, you're not waiting a long time for anything.
No. And did I say Northwest or did I say Southwest Airlines?
You said Northwest. Is it
Southwest? Sorry.
Oh, is it Southwest that's going?
Yes.
God bless them.
And their feeder stations, I believe, they range from Baltimore, Nashville, Dallas. They're some of the main feeders that come into our area. So you're not going to have a direct flight from New York, but it does give us much more access.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because I actually, in order for me to get that airline, I think I have to go out to Long Island or to, I guess I think it's MacArthur Airport.
I'm not quite familiar with how you're coming from exactly, but I know there's a lot of Jersey access as well.
Mhm. Well, that's great that you have that. I guess you can, make a comparison to coming into there or coming into Tallahassee, which is that the next nearest? Would that be
Fort Walton or Tallahassee?
But Fort Walton
either,
being
either
a,
one of those is going to be hour and 45 minutes. Panama City Airport's about an hour drive. The others are going to, but it's an easy drive. You're not, going through heavy traffic. It's you can pretty much bank on how long it's going to take you. You're not going to run into any rush hour traffic that would delay you and put you back 2 hours.
Okay.
Like what I'm familiar with Chicago, O'Hare, and Midway.
Now, by the way, I'm gonna expect some Tupelo honey in the mail. Huh?
All right.
You gotta send. And you know the weird thing is when I was there. Oh, I remember. I was there and I tried it, and then I found it in at a place when I was doing in Daytona Beach. There was a store that had a different restaurant that had a lot of different honeys there. And
right.
They had the Tupelo honey. I went, oh, tell them somebody to open it up and we can taste this. Because I was on a press trip at the time. So
right.
I wanted people to get that, you know, what it tasted like. But, yeah.
It amazes me how many times we have that I run into locals and they say, oh, yeah, I buy it by the quart. You know, I buy it and I eat it every single morning on either my toast or my biscuit. I eat it every morning. I'm like, really?
Hmm.
I don't as much. I'm just not a sweet eater myself, but many people will buy it in large batches and get it when they can. It's only the blossom, I believe, only blooms for about 2.5 weeks per year, so they have it is a limited supply.
All right, I'll email you into my address.
Please do. I've got your email, but I don't have
your
address.
Oh, you do that.
So.
Oh, okay. Then email me, and then I'll email back my address. I wonder. By the way, this is not you know. I'll be doing another show to follow up. You know, as like I don't know, maybe like sometime next month. See any changes.
You know, you've got me. I'm
positive and negative in terms of the oil spill. You know, I was talking to somebody about, because it the thing I was thinking about in terms of this oil, I mean, like, you know, you're going far into the water and extracting oil, and I'm thinking, where the hell is this coming from? Where is this oil? Where is it? And this is what the explanation was, that it's so far it's into the earth. And it's actually composed of the remains of dinosaurs.
Yeah, I'm not quite as familiar with that part, but I have heard that. I didn't study the science in college, but I have heard that is a breakdown of deposits from years ago. I don't know if that's all the truth. I really don't know on that, but. You hear a lot of different rumors. I think some of it may just be naturally occurring, but I'm not quite certain on that one, Merle.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting to think about what you're doing with. You now have dinosaur remains.
That's right.
You know, they just the dinosaur remains are going all over the place. They're eating the wildlife. I mean, you can turn it around.
You're right.
But the oil spill is.
Come check out our dinosaurs.
Yes, in a different composition though.
That's right.
Yeah. well, I'm going to let you go. Again, as I said, I'll follow up in maybe sometime next month to see how it's going down there, and. Hopefully, and as far as my coming down there, just let me know when it cools off a bit.
I will. I will let you know, and I will head on to our city meeting here shortly, and then we'll go on to, looks like the rain is beginning to leave our area. It's dry for a while now, so we'll have our movies in the park and have any of your listeners or fans, if they'll go to that clearfloridacoast.com and or go to visitgolf.com, send me an email or send us a message, and we'll provide any information. We have a 60-page full-color guide for Gulf County, which we send, of course, free of charge. We,
mm-hmm.
we pay for that. So if anyone wants that, they can reply, give us their address, and we will send that out the following day.
Great. That's absolutely fabulous. And I appreciate that you're calling in and talking to us about this. This is really cool.
Well, yes, ma'am. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And I'm looking forward to coming back there just for the oysters.
And the shrimp and the low country
and
boil
shrimp,
and
yeah,
the
right.
and the horseback that. Riding and the kayaking and
yeah right by the way, I had just one more question. Is anybody doing a Segway tour in any of that area?
No, we're not. I'm afraid of Segways, so I keep those out of our area.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding. No, but no, I have not. I honestly say we have not seen a Segway in our county that I know of. We have plenty of bicycles and everything else, but no Segway.
Okay, just wanted to know. I'm trying to Segway in every city I go to.
There you go. I'll see if we can borrow one if I find one.
Oh, okay. All right, Tim. It was really great speaking with you, and I hope all this, the whole thing, gets taken care of. But in the meantime, I'll tell people, no problem over there.
No, there's really not, and I appreciate you having me on to help explain that and explain our entire area. And we look forward to you coming down and having your next journey of destination.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks, and
have a great day, Merle.
Great evening.
You too. Bye now.
Bye. Yes. The coast. Well, I got a break. Gonna break for a commercial. You know which commercial I have to break for.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Oh, yes. You can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. For some brownies and Apalachicola oysters. And oh, goodness gracious here.
Are you ready for some football?
Oh, yes. I just want to let you know. That's right. It's Thursday, and Team USA, the football team from the IWFL, is on their way to Sweden for the International Women's Tackle Football Tournament. And I'm going to be following this. Trying to see how many, I could do a show Sunday is their first game. I'm going to see if I can get as much info as possible, and let you know what's going on. We got five players from the New York Sharks, that are, or as I call them, my kids, as I call them, that are participating. In the meantime, the show Promises on Broadway, they came out with a new a CD of this cast, and so I think I'll play the song here.
Promises, promises, I'm all through with promises, promises now. I don't know how I got the nerve to walk out. If I shout, remember, I feel free. Now I can look at myself and be proud. I'm laughing out loud. Oh, promises, promises, this is where those promises, promises end. I won't pretend that what was wrong can be right. Every night I'll sleep now, no more lies. Things that I promised myself fell apart, but I found my heart. Oh, promises, they're kind of promises, take all the joy from life. Oh, promises, those kind of promises can just destroy your life.
The cast of this one is Sean Hayes and Kristen Chenoweth. Kristen did get a Tony. And by the way, for those who don't know who Sean Hayes is, he was in this show Will and Grace. I have a few minutes here. Esther and Eunice are in here. They want to make sure that they're going to come with me on my next trip, which is next week, and. Okay, that's the other one. I have to look into their eyes to see which one is which. That's the whole thing. And I'm definitely gonna do a Segway tour. I'll be in Norfolk, Virginia. But one of the things with Promises, interesting, was the music. Burt Bacharach did the music, and I've never seen the show, but I didn't realize how many songs I knew I can't think of her name. Dionne Warwick, right? Dionne Warwick, I think. Was it Dionne Warwick? Okay. Yeah, it was Dionne Warwick that sang the songs. And I think. Let's see if I have, yep, okay. Well, I'll do that another time. Right now, what I want to get into is that, I don't know if I could explain what a ketubah is. I'm going to allow Michael Shapiro to do so, and also update us. I had spoken with him once before, and he's going to update us on what's going on with his business, ketubah business. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Merle. How are you?
Oh, just great. I'm just curious, what's the weather like where you are?
Believe it or not, it's hot. We're in Toronto, and it is steamy.
You know, the funny thing is, what's the temperature there? I'm just curious.
Temperature, I would say, well, we use Celsius here, so it's about, I'd say, between 25 and 30 degrees, which would translate in Fahrenheit to about, it's probably about 80 or 85, which for us is pretty hot, especially because it's humid in the city when it gets hot.
You know, this interesting. I just had somebody from tourism in the Florida Gulf.
Okay.
It's the same temperature. It's like the same temperature. And we're here. I'm in New York City, and I'm getting like 90 degrees that it feels like outside. I mean, it's like it doesn't matter where you go.
That's right. Well,
We've
got an expression here in Canada. There's no such thing as spring. It goes from winter, it's freezing, and then it goes boom right into summer. and this is summer now.
That's happening here too in New York. I don't know. You know what the worst part about that is? This is when you know the clothing that you buy.
Yes.
And you got it. Oh, you know, thinking that you have clothing for the spring. Then there isn't any. But anyway, let's get into. Explain to my audience first what a ketubah is.
Absolutely. Well, Merle, it's great to be on the show again. Basically, what a ketubah is the Jewish marriage contract, and what we specialize in is the ketubah as an art form. Now, the contract itself. The traditional text goes back about 2,000 years, so it's a very ancient document in its traditional form, but almost as old, there's about a 1,000-year tradition of making these documents into a piece of art. And at ketubah.com, we specialize in limited edition, fine art, printed ketubahs, which are a beautiful, vibrant, colorful, personalized with the names of the couple, the location of the wedding, usually in Hebrew and English, and they're also very affordable. Unlike a custom ketubah, which is certainly beautiful for those who have the budget, which might run $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000, the fine art prints that we sell, they're usually about $200 or so, plus or minus.
And now, you also have, like, if it's not a marriage, you also, like, the one I got was a, like, I don't want to say, it doesn't bless the home. I was trying to figure out.
Well, you know, we do call it a home blessing. And,
okay.
You know, it is something that can be purchased by someone who may not be getting married or who isn't married. And we actually have a line of ketubahs that are exclusive to us. There's about 200 different designs, and all of them come also as a home blessing. It's a little bit smaller. It's at a lower price point. They cost $75 each. They are still available printed on paper, or there's the option of upgrading to have them printed on canvas. And they're lovely. And there's as much of a range of design in those as there is in our ketubahs. Anything from traditional to super contemporary.
That's great. And I just want people to know you don't have to be Jewish to have one.
That's right.
So now, what I wanted to ask you, I know that some stuff has come up lately that you wanted to share.
Yes, well, there's some exciting news here at ketubah.com, and the first one is that when we last spoke, well, we were ketubah, and we've actually changed our name of the last 14 years to ketubah.com. Now, ketubah.com has always been our URL or our website address. That's always where we've been, and what we found over time is that some people were confused. Well, are you ketubah? Which is the name of the company, or areyouketubah.com, which is where our website is located. And we listened to our customers, and we realized that it would just be much simpler and easier for everyone if we just called ourselves ketubah.com. Now, we have wholesale operations and other parts of the business that will still be under the ketubah name, but the retail end of things, the website, it's now just plain ketubah.com. It says what we do. It says who we are. It's exactly what people expect us to be, which is the ketubah experts online.
Okay. And is there something else that's new?
Yes, there is. Well, in celebration of our name change and also in honor of our 14 years online, because we went online July 1st of 1996, which, for perspective, is a year before the domain name google.com was registered. So we've been on for a very long time. So in honor of the name change and our 14 years online, we are having a sweepstakes this summer. And for 14 weeks, we are giving away a ketubah every week. There's 14 weeks draws to win a free ketubah from our exclusive signature collection. And that's a value of up to $350 each week.
Okay, so, and just so people get it, it's ketubah is spelled K-E-T-U-B-A-H.
That's right.
So you're giving one away, one per month, is that what you said?
There's one every week this summer.
Every week, okay.
Yeah, running all the way through to August 18th. And anybody can enter. You just need to be 18 years of age. No purchase is necessary. And all you need to do is just go to our website, ketubah.com, and right on the homepage there's a little, actually not such a little, ad. And you click here, and then you enter. And each week the winner is announced on our Facebook page.
Great. That's fabulous.
Yeah. And actually, I should mention, that's something else that's new as well, too, is that we've dabbled in Facebook before, but we now have a full-blown Facebook page. We're also set up with Twitter. What we find is that every year, I mean, our couples are on average the same age, but of course every year there are people who have grown up more and more with technology, and social media, of course, is something that is a very hot button in the marketing world, but it's something really that people are integrating into their lives. So as a way for us to reach out better and better to our customer base, we're branching out in that direction. We've always been a technology leader, of course, being online for 14 years, and this is the newest way that we're leading the pack.
That's great. I also wanted to comment this because with and I totally forgot June, the month of June, but because I'm so busy doing things
of
myself,
course.
that I had met you at the GLBT Expo.
Yes.
And so I want to kind of put it out for those, because it's GLBT month, or it's Gay Pride Month.
Absolutely.
Well, it is here in New York. I know that it's interesting that, like, it used to be like people thought, you know, June, but then
yeah.
you go off someplace else and, you know, out of, I think out of this United States, and I think I had gone to, when I went to Montreal, Montreal.
Oui, oui.
I think I went in August, oh God, in August for the Gay Pride. What about in Toronto? Where
in
is
Toronto,
it?
There's a huge Pride event, which is coming up shortly, and it's a multifaceted event that draws huge, obviously from the Toronto community, huge crowds, but also from all over. So it's a major Pride event in the world. And we met at the GLBT Expo in New York, and of course the reason that we were there is because what we find is that we've got Merle. Have I lost you?
Yeah. No.
Okay, good.
You're probably getting, somebody calling you.
I had a call coming in, but I've put that on, so that
okay.
won't bother us.
It's okay.
I'll be able to attend to that after. The reason we were there is because, of course, we have all different sorts of couples that are interested in getting a ketubah, and it runs the gamut from very traditional Jewish couples to interfaith couples, and also to gay couples, both Jewish and interfaith. And what we've even noticed in recent years is that we get inquiries and sales to couples where neither person is Jewish, but they just love the idea.
Oh yeah, just the art. Well, I was explaining to somebody that even though you're seeing Hebrew lettering. Yeah, it's kind of like I don't know if you've got some. It's like if you were someplace and you wanted something that's Roman or Greek or something, and had the words in there. You're not going to think of it's not as much as a religious kind of meaning as versus a piece of artwork,
it doesn't necessarily have to have
the religion part of it involved.
Right. Well, when it's a ketubah for a Jewish couple, the rabbi or the wedding officiant is very involved in determining the appropriate text and making sure that part is right. But in cases where it's a couple who isn't Jewish, perhaps they've seen a ketubah at a friend's house and they like the idea of a piece of art that they choose together that gets read out at the wedding ceremony, and that is one of the most beautiful and memorable and lasting pieces of their wedding day that gets hung in their home for years and years later. They just like that idea. Oftentimes they may choose to get a text that's English only. And with many of our ketubahs and all of the ones in our exclusive signature collection, there is the option of sending us a text of their own choice.
Right.
And basically anything that they can provide to us in a Word document, we can typeset and lay out inside the art design that they've chosen, and they're just lovely.
Well, do people give them as, let's say, as a wedding gift?
Yeah.
It's not the kind of thing you got to find out that you got to make sure no one else is giving one. You don't want to have a whole bunch.
Yes, Merle, we do see that, and usually the way that works is it's not usually a surprise wedding gift. It's usually something where the gift giver is consulted with the couple, or perhaps the couple has chosen the design.
Wait, hang a second. I got to put you on speakerphone.
Sure. Absolutely.
It's going to make a little noise. Okay. My battery was running low.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So in the case of a gift, the person giving the gift usually consults closely with the couple, or in other cases, the couple will choose the design, choose the text they like, get it cleared with their rabbi or wedding officiant, and then let the gift giver know, okay, this is the one that we want. Because, it is a personal purchase. Couples appreciate getting it as a gift, but most couples, in our experience, don't appreciate getting a surprise design that is not something that would have been to their taste.
Right. So, then that must be something like in Canada, since it's not like you're dealing with the separate states in the United States where same-sex couples are getting married. So it's like all of Canada, and so you must do much better up in Canada than you're doing in the States.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm proud that Canada is much more progressive in that regard, and I love living in Canada, and it's one of the pleasures of living here. Having said that, just to be clear for your radio listeners, we're physically located in Canada, but the vast majority, in fact, about 95% of our customers live in the United States. So,
okay.
So we're really operating in the U.S. market, taking care of U.S. customers, though physically we're our office is in Canada. And that's one of the beauties of the Internet, that it makes that possible.
Yeah. Well, it's also great, like, even for an anniversary gift to somebody.
Yes. I'll say one more thing about this. A lot of customers are surprised when they learn that we're here. They figure that a ketubah company, they figure that the leading ketubah company in the world, which we are, would be located in New York. And they're a bit surprised to find out that we're in Toronto.
That's really good. So, all right, so you got a sweepstakes going.
Yes.
And it's ketubah.com.
Yes.
And I'm going to, what I haven't done yet is frame the one I have, the one you sent me. I want to try to do it because I want to take a photo of it, but I need to find, I couldn't lay it out someplace to get a photo. So I'm going to go and get it framed first.
I know, I have a recommendation around that. The home blessing that you have is sized such that there is the option of buying a picture, buying a frame, a photo frame or a picture frame off the shelf, as it were, at a at an art store or
right. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, it doesn't require professional framing. Some of the larger sizes of the home blessings or the ketubas would call for professional framing. So while you certainly have that option for the one you have, it's not necessary.
Yeah, I'm going to go to one of those like arts and crafts stores.
Yes.
That have and then they have. Make it easier to like.
Exactly. I would recommend just bring it with you to the store, and that way you get the exact right size frame and one that suits your taste as well.
Great. Yeah, because I still got to do some writing about it. I've been so busy traveling and getting out these travel articles that I, backed up a bit. So you'll have to forgive me for being backed up a bit. I'm going to get the information out there, I'll also I have a couple of publications, the online publications that I write for, and I'm going to use a photo of the one that I got. But then you'll give me access to I'll email you.
Absolutely.
And give you what it is that the what it is that I want, because I think what'll be easy is I'll email you the article, and then you can tell me in terms of the spots that I'm that would be the best photos.
That sounds great. One thing I'll make available to you, which is something we've added also since we last spoke, is that there is a press page for our website. If you go to ketubah.com/press, there are some press releases. There's company background about myself as founder. I think that would be a good resource for you or for anyone who interested in writing about ketubahs or writing about our company.
Okay.
So ketubah.com/press.
Great. Well, thanks, Michael. I appreciate you calling in and talking about something nice and positive and different.
Well, Merle, it's a pleasure as always. Great to speak with you. Great to be on the show.
Okay. Well, as I said, I'll be in touch. I'll talk to you soon.
All the best.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, so don't forget to go to ketubah.com. That's K-E-T-U-B-A-H. They're really great. The artwork is wonderful, just for the artwork itself. And as Michael said, you can apply it to whether it's couples or the ones that are like blessings on the home. So let's see. Let me see if I can get in. I'm not sure I can. That I have time to get in. I had two interviews that I did in Yorktown, Virginia, and at the settlement. And I'd like to get them in, but I see I have like 11 minutes to go. Well, what I'd like to do first, let me get this commercial time, and then.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. That is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room. I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Okay, and here's another song from Promises, Promises. It's actually Promises, Promises is the musical rendition of the movie The Apartment. Yeah. I'm going to, I got 7 minutes left, but I'm going to end now because after talking about all that wonderful seafood in the Gulf, I have to go and have something to eat. And I think I'm going to, I got a piece of salmon, that's what I got, and I'm going to cook that up. And I will, as I said, I will be doing a show most likely, this weekend. I'll do my another show to talk about the football and just get some updates on what's going. I have to say that in regards to this International Women's Tackle Football Tournament, this would have never absolutely happened if it wasn't for Andra Douglas, the owner of the New York Sharks and CEO of Fins Up Foundation for Female Athletes. So have a good day. Hope some wherever you are, you're not schwitzing as much as as I am.